sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan, boy, man. With you at the helm, the Beagles go down left and right.
I am Stan Hudson.
I'm John Kerlinski. Welcome you to another fun-filled radio program of
Sink the Beagle, where we do lighthearted looks at the very heavy and serious subject of creation and evolution. Where we came from is an issue I think important to all. And we like to use science, good science, and good scripture in coming up with a consistent answer that blows away Darwinian theory, we think. Well, we like to think so.
Speaking of things that could blow away Darwinian theory, could you imagine a day when God had fun, probably?
Okay.
Let's just assume for a moment that God foresaw that mankind would depart from him, wander down the path of their own supposed wisdom, and think themselves so smart, and come up with weird theories of like where we came from without God, and they would just start looking at, well, we have the proof of it. See, look at the fossil record. Look at all these things that just show that we have evolved.
We're getting better.
We're getting smarter and bigger and wiser.
Very, very difficult when we look at our teenage sons to believe.
God gets funny and he decides, hey, I'm going to plant something in the fossil record that's going to blow their mind. Wait till they see this one. Tell me which. They're going to get all kinds of categories for creatures. This, God would say, just for a joke and just see what they do.
Evolve this one.
Evolve this one. And so he sends them a creature which has webbed feet, like a duck.
Okay.
And a bill like a duck.
Okay.
Fur like a mink or better.
Okay.
And sharp, poisonous spine, almost like a snake or a scorpion.
Lays eggs
like a reptile that hatches. I mean, what do you got here? You got
a platypus.
The platterpus.
Yeah.
As they would say it.
It almost has just as fun a name as the animal itself.
The platterpus. The platypus.
We're talking about a platypus as being, of course, the famous Australian mammal that just seems to defy all understanding.
Yeah, because
what is it exactly?
When you say the mammal, one more characteristic we left out was that when the young hatch from their eggs, they nurse on their mother.
And that's supposed to be a way of identifying a mammal. Yeah.
Well, is it a mammal? Is it a duck? Is it a mink? Is it a reptile? What is it? It's a critter.
Well, in the 1790s,
of course... Make some vittles out of it.
What do you do with this thing? In the 1790s, of course, Britain was sending people to Australia to check it out and study it. And
make it a penal colony?
Yes, sending some of, the better folks of us, of England. But in 1799, a report came back to good old Mother England saying, we're finding a critter here that you are not going to believe. And they described it, the furry body like most mammals, webbed feet and bill like a duck, a reproductive system that evolves...
Beaver-like
youngs,
tail.
And a beaver. Tail and everything, and when the word first got back, it was regarded as a hoax.
Yeah. And what a joke. You guys have been out in the Australian sun too long, and one or two got beat up by a wallaby or something. Who knows?
Come on, mate.
Come on, mate. Good day, mate.
You were making this up. And they thought literally that it was made up by some colonial prankster.
So they said, well, send us one. Come on, you guys. And so the guys went out there on a little excursion. They caught this little furry critter things, and they put them in a box, and they shipped them back.
Of course, he was not alive by the time he got him back, but in any case, he was actually the first one sent back. You can still see in the London British Museum of Natural History.
The scissor marks. The special scissor marks.
When you take a look at the first one, and it was, taxidermed on out to be preserved, you can still see the scissor marks around the bill.
They thought it was a hoax, and they were going to cut the thing off.
Yeah, they were trying to remove it. They thought somebody got in here with Elmer's glue all and a duck bill and just glued the thing onto
a beaver
critter.
And added some weird looking things, and they discovered, no, it's not a composite type of critter that they were put together. Mm. It was an animal who came in a complete complex package.
Well, the British, for the next 100 years or so in Australia, did a lot of investigation, experimentation. They saw them in the wild, and they tried to raise them, and it was not easy to do. But they certainly discovered a lot of very, very interesting things about the platypus.
Well, you know, evolutionists like to put the platypus. They don't really know where to put it. It's some sort of primitive thing that's evolving but got confused into which direction to go.
Which way shall we go?
Should we become a bird? Nah. What a furry creature.
How about a
in the
water.
No, how about a mammal? No, I'm a lizard. No, lizard? I don't know what I want to be.
I don't know.
I need Dr. Phil, Dr. Ruth. I need all this help I can get, you know. Dr. Laura, come and help me. I need couch time. I'm so confused.
You know, they watched it in the wild, and it has claws, of course, for burrowing, and its web feet for swimming. Which, you know, with the web and everything, it helps it to move along. Its fur is so fine, there are 900 hairs per square millimeter.
That's got to be one of the softest, wooliest little things you'd want to wear.
It would keep the body dry while it was swimming around and diving and so forth.
Must have too much oil or it stinketh to be, or else you'd see fur coats made out of these things.
when it submerges, when it's swimming, it has a fold of skin that closes over its eyes and ears. It doesn't have an external ear at all. The duck bill is actually a sensitive muzzle that allows the platypus to find, like, food things along the bottom of
it. They call it electronic type of device. It's not your chemical electrode. It's another type of, it sends out a signal and locates its food within the mud. It's kind of like, you know, it was kind of like the first chance of ordering food electronically, like I want to order a burger and fries and throw in a large drink with that, please. That'll be 35 cents. Up to the next window, please. You know, and just, you know, that was his kind of way of ordering food electronically. Oh, it's over there. Your pizza's on the next mud pile.
Well, we know that's very primitive, actually. Yeah.
I know.
No, the electroreceptors, and, you know, there's been for the last 100 years or so a debate within the scientific community about, you know, where it came from and what exactly, how to classify it even. And it's just been one of the funnier things to see as they wrestled with trying to figure out what to do with a platypus.
Yeah, so when God wanted to make a joke, he said, I'm going to confuse them. I'm going to give them a platypus.
Well, here's a few facts and figures about the platypus. Did you know, John? Did you know?
No, I didn't.
That platypuses range in body length from about 12 to 32 inches and something like 2 foot
to 2.5 feet long. That'd be a big,
that would be
big,
a big
small dog, you know, middle-sized dog.
Big plat of puss there.
Okay.
Up to 22 pounds. What do they, you know what they eat?
Critters.
Critters, little bugs, insect larvae, small crayfish, tadpoles, other aquatic animals, and they breed once a year. In captivity, they have an enormous appetite. Actually, I know that it's very difficult to get them to breed, and that's one of the reasons why they've been hindered in being studied.
Because in captivity, they get so worried they eat to deal with their issues, and they hate being laughed at. It's one thing to look like you are, then to go to a zoo and get laughed at. Who wants to reproduce when you're being laughed at every 10
minutes?
That's
right. So they go eat. They go eat and to escape their problems. Actually, they eat up to half of their own body weight in a single day.
Wow.
And they have teeth when they're young, but get this, and this must be another one of the odd things about them. They have teeth when they're young, but as they grow older, they shed those teeth, and that's replaced by sort of horny pads.
In their mouths. Yeah. So when you find what the thing is, they found fossilized platypuses and they had teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And now at first they thought they evolved to no teeth, but now they're thinking that maybe the fossils they found were young platypuses.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sure.
Now the posture of these animals are actually more like reptiles, like lizards, because the legs go straight out, you know, and they're kind of low to the ground, and a very non-mammal like structure there. Like I mentioned, they have no external ears. They have cheek pouches in which food is stored until they can chew it. And, of course, the webbing on the hind feet reaches to the base of the claws and on the front feet beyond the claws, making extra large paddles for swimming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the males have a sharp, as you mentioned it, a sharp, movable, horny poison spur on the inner side of each hind limb.
Now, what's that for, Stan?
Well, they're not sure. I think for poking other men or something, you know, in trying to
stay away from my wife
territory.
And my house and my
That's
food.
Right. Take this. Whack. Oh, man, that platypus kicked me right in the shins. So, and very painful. So, this is kind of a funny thing that, you know, supposedly, according to evolutionists, you know, Australia has some very unique animals. Everybody knows that, kangaroos and all. You know, Australia seems, as, according to the Long Agers, have broken away from other land masses about 225 million years ago. And so that's why they kind of evolved separate critters. And yet, the studies don't all show that at all. However, the discovery in the early 1990s of three platypus teeth in South America, almost identical to fossil platypus teeth in Australia, seems to throw that theory upside down. So,
like most theories they have.
So platypuses could have been elsewhere as well as Australia.
So either platypuses are a God's joke on the evolutionary community, or they're very complex, fearfully, wonderfully made creatures that amuse us. Now, if God wanted to put another joke in to really confuse us and eat up our time, he would have given us teenagers.
man, where do you go logically there?
I don't know. We go to a torpedo text, I think. We need to go to a torpedo text to talk about this kind of, where does this kind of creature fit in? Who knows? But we do know this.
Well, we do know this from 1 Corinthians 1, and it says, in verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. How about that? The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Do you suppose God has fun with some of these things, some of these issues?
Maybe he cracks a joke and says, wait till they dig one of these critters up. The British will be confused over tea and crumpets for months.
imagine, you know, if you think about evolution working from simple to complex and the transitional forms. Wonder what a transitional form would look like for a platypus.
Yeah. What kind of creatures got to get? I mean, it had all the transitions. It's Eve, the mother Eve of all major speciations. It must have evolved from the very first creature that came out of the sea, came out to be a platypus, and then from there,
there we
come
ducks
the mammals
and
ducks and furry critters and rodents and lizards and everything evolved.
Yeah.
And behold, Pangaea platypus.
Well, exactly right, and you know we. It does illustrate, and just take a look at a picture of a platypus sometimes, and John, you just think about it for a minute. Does that not illustrate that God has a sense of humor?
I think so. I think to make
a creature.
Here
you and I, you know.
Yeah, you and I. Speaking of duck bills, Stan.
Hey, wait a minute. If it waddles like a duck and if it quacks like a duck, it is a duck.
It's a platypus.
Oh, it's a platypus.
That's
instead.
What evolution has to wrestle with. And see, these are the anomalies in evolutionary theory. Mm-hmm. And actually, Australia is just full of them. Besides the people there, I mean, it's got all kinds of critters that really don't fit into any scheme. And actually, to some degree, they are a problem for creationists who like to, the theistic evolutionists, that they see these as also conundrums for creation theory in a flood theory. How could this creature be found only here and its fossil record found only here? Well, now they're discovering the fossil record
elsewhere.
Is beyond just that area of Australia. It's found in South America now. But even still, those are both distant places from the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So how did this creature get on the ark and off the ark? And that's where creationists can sometimes struggle. But we also have to understand that when God brought the animals into the ark, He also that was a supernatural event.
That's right.
Animals
just
kind of pair up two by twos and show up in a parade one day, like some of the pictures proclaim. Could not the same God and with his heavenly angels who minister on behalf of humanity in this earth send them forth from the ark to homelands which would be consistent to their ancestry?
And their habitat be good for them, ideal for them, and so forth, and get them started to repopulate those areas of the world.
Yeah, it'd be consistent with a God who was a whole lot smarter than we give him credit for.
Wiser than the wisdom of man.
Yeah, if he can speak us into existence, maybe he knows how things ought to run.
And maybe he would put a platypus on this earth just to show, you know, evolution doesn't really answer the questions.
Yeah, it doesn't really. So we hope that you will find the real answers as you tune in week by week to Sink the Beagle. And we wrestle with these questions and discover more about the wisdom of God and the foolishness of us, of people like you and me.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle at lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle at lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from Seven Standards.